We're going to go to chapter 26 of Genesis. What I want to talk about this morning carries on a theme a bit on the patriarchs. We've had three messages on Abraham and life lessons from Abraham. What I want to talk about this morning deals a bit with the guy in the middle of the famous phrase. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to deal a little bit with Isaac this morning. But before we get there, let me ask you a few questions. What motivates you? What are your goals? Your desires? What are you living for? some people are going, this is way too heavy for this morning, man. Yeah. Ultimately, the question that I want to ask you is, what are you living for that's going to outlast your life? What has God called you to? Right, the Lord. His purposes. What has He called us to? To be conformed to the image of His Son. To be like Jesus. To be transformed, the Bible says, by the renewing of my mind. God's called me to give life away. To give life away to other people. Because the church, you know, has the answer. His name is?
Jesus.
I'm sorry, His name is?
Jesus.
Doesn't matter what the question is. Doesn't matter what the problem is. The answer is in Jesus. Now, some people say, yeah, well, Jesus is fine, the church is messed up. Well, that may be true. But the church is made up of people who love Him, who are called according to be like Him or trying to change to be like Him. And at least we get to hang together and encourage each other on the journey to becoming changed to be more like Jesus. Wouldn't you rather be in a culture of people who cheer for each other than frown on each other? Now, out in the world, they're going to frown on you. Isn't that true? Anybody ever been frowned on out in the world? Let's see the show of hands. Come on. All right, but in the church, what's going to happen? Somebody's going to cheer for you. Yes, sometimes there are problems. People aren't perfect. So you have to get a grip and get over it. If people have hurt you, forgive them, the Bible says. But overall, you're combining efforts with a group of people who love Jesus like you do, who want to be conformed and changed like Him, like you do. So we've all got a family to run after God together with. And isn't it better to be with somebody than not? Don't you think? How many really love being alone in this life? I didn't get any big hand raisings on that one. Nancy, okay. A few times. A few times it's nice to be alone. But it's nicer to know that you're not alone and you have somebody that you're walking through life. You may be able to retreat for a while and be by yourself, but you know ultimately you're not alone, are you? You've got a group of people who love you. Isn't that what this is about? Christianity, loving Jesus and loving each other. Hit each other in the arm and say, love you lots, man or woman there. Love you lots. Jesus has called us to build His church. He said, I will build my church. And what's it to look like? You know, some people hear these kinds of questions and they think to themselves, well, wait a minute, I'm not called to be a minister. I don't have to work that hard. Actually, the Bible says every one of us is called to be a minister before God. Every one of us has a ministry and a place of ministry, according to the New Testament. You might say, well, I'm not called to do anything great. I haven't done anything great. But what are you doing that's out living your life? Anybody ever been involved in a flood, packing sandbags in place to prevent a flood? Okay, Pete. You get a long line of people going, right? Pass one bag to the other. Ever helped anybody move that way? Is it easier to get a line going and pass one to another? You know, you receive from the one, you pass it off to the other. You receive from the one, pass it off to the other. And you hopefully don't drop the sandbag, which messes up the whole line, right? You hopefully don't drop the china dishes in that nicely packed box. And you don't back up the whole line. But you're part of a whole that gets the job done. Church, in the same way, every one of us has a ministry. You may think, well, I'm not called to some glorious ministry. I'm just in line passing the faith along. But that is a high and a holy calling. A powerful calling. That was Isaac's calling. I may have said Isaiah a little earlier, I'm sorry. That was Isaac's calling. He was a transitionary guy. You know, you don't read a whole lot about Isaac. Because the big storylines, all the big play goes to Abraham. And then the big play goes to Jacob. So if you're Isaac standing there in the middle, you may think, hey, what about me? Do you know that Abraham and Jacob both lived shorter lives than did Isaac? In terms of the productive life, Isaac, at the very least, lived till 180. And Abraham, maybe I'm wrong on Abraham, but at least for Jacob, Isaac lived longer. He had to keep the faith longer. He had to keep doing the job longer. He had an important job to do. But we don't hear much about Isaac. How many realize, you know, a week or two ago we talked about Isaac being laid on the altar, and we called this Abraham's test, right? How would you feel about that if you were Isaac? Hey, wait a minute. This wasn't just Dad's test here. I'm the guy who had to lay it all on the line. He did. And it really was Isaac's test, as well as Abraham's test. But there are life lessons this morning I think we can learn. This was an incredible man of God, this man named Isaac. Indeed, he was a type of Christ in his surrender to the purposes of God. And he passed his faith along. Isaac gave life away. And that's what the name of the message is this morning. Isaac gave life away. In Genesis chapter 26, you're right there, verses 1 through 5, I want to read a section. This is after the test. This is after he's become a grown man. And it says, there was a famine in the land, Genesis 26, verses 1 through 5. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Verse 2, then the Lord appeared to him and said, don't go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in the land, and I will be with you and bless you. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds like the words that were spoken to Abraham. Now it's being spoken to Isaac. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. Verse 4. I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 5. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Overall, this man trusted and followed in God. But he was given this great promise that had been given to his father Abraham. He says, look, if you'll just follow me, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. You're going to have kids, the number of the, you know, sand on the seashore, stars in the sky. You won't be able to count them all. And just walk with me. Now, we read that rather lightly. Do you think there was any pressure on this man? He better not screw up, right? All the nations of the earth will be blessed. You're going to have these multitudes of kids. And if you screw up, none of it's going to happen. Well, it didn't say that, but would you feel any pressure? Same kind of pressure maybe that you feel and I feel sometimes when somebody says, you're a Christian, how are you acting? You're a Christian, how are you living? Through you, God has chosen to bless people all around you in your neighborhood, your community, and your life. How are you living? Same kind of pressure. Let's find out some more about Isaac. Acts chapter 7, verse 8. You can write some of these down rather than turn if you want. Acts chapter 7, verse 8. Then he gave him the covenant of circumcision, and so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. Now, by the way, Isaac was the first one to be circumcised according to that which became the law. On the eighth day, the male child was to be circumcised, and he was the first one. Remember, Abraham was later in life when he got circumcised, and so was Ishmael. Ishmael was, I think, 13 or 17, something like that, when that happened. Romans 9, verse 7. Romans 9, verse 7. Nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. Very interesting. When you go over to Paul's teachings in the book of Romans, as well as in Galatians, Paul is the one who really elevates the place of Isaac as being the spiritual seed. What God did through Isaac was crucial to the generations and crucial to us as Christians. Galatians chapter 4. Let's turn there next. Let's go to it in your Bibles. Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 21. Galatians 4, verse 21. Who are we talking about this morning? Oh, good. Thank you. Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. Galatians 4, verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written, verse 22, that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. Verse 23. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Through what? Verse 24, which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar, after the flesh. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. What was he speaking about? He was talking about the Jewish religion, the Hebrews, who refused or renounced or gave terrible difficulty to the Christians. In other words, you have the national Jewish heritage, and now Paul is saying, now you who are called by faith are the seed of promise. You're the ones, like Isaac, who were called by promise to be God's children. Verse 26, but the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. In other words, spiritual Israel. Verse 27, for it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who did not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Verse 28, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of what? Look at each other. Say, you're a child of promise. A child of promise. Verse 29, but as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. In other words, Israel's given you a bad time. The Jews are running you down. They're persecuting you. The dispersion has occurred. And that's because they are after the flesh, natural Israel, but you are after spiritual Israel. That which is spiritual. And remember, why is this important? What did Ishmael do to Isaac? You remember? He mocked him. He mocked him. He was jealous. He was hurt. He had been, according to culture, the newsry culture, N-U-Z-R-I, newsry culture, newsy culture of the day. When the wife did not bear the master a son or the husband a son, it was, according to that law, her responsibility to provide a slave woman to the master in order to provide a son. And if a son occurred through that union, that son was the son who would receive the inheritance. And when the natural might come later, as it did for who? Sarah and Abraham, thank you very much. Just a little history this morning. Okay, for Abraham and Sarah, later on in life, he's 100, she's what? 90, and they have Isaac. All right, that son, now the inheritance goes to him. But the father was still to provide for the other son, and Abraham loved him as well. And that's why when the mocking occurred and Sarah says to Abraham, get rid of Hagar and her son. This is simply a thorn in our flesh. He's not to receive the inheritance. Abraham was shocked. According to the culture of the day, as we've talked before, that was an illegal act. And he wasn't going to do it until God intervened and said, listen up, Sarah's right. So imagine what might have been happening in Ishmael's heart. I had the favor, I had the position, I had the inheritance, and now this little snot-nosed kid comes along. And we're having a party for him. 2 years of age to have a party for him being weaned. Oh, big deal! Ishmael could be imagined hearing him say, right? Big deal! You snot-nosed little kid! So there was jealousy, there was competition, there was problem. But what you had breaks down into God's plan. God did take care of Abraham and Ishmael, along with Hagar, as well as Sarah and Isaac. But what is happening is now, Paul is saying, this is of the flesh, this is of the Spirit. You, church of the Lord Jesus, are of the Spirit. Maybe you're not Jews by birth, but you are engrafted in by faith. Remember the whole teaching through Romans? And Paul says, don't get arrogant, because if the same God who grafted you in and took them away gets upset at you for being arrogant, he can take you out and put them back in. So we walk tenderly before God. But there's this whole spiritual versus natural. Children of promise versus being children of the flesh. Verse 30, nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the spirit of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. And that's what all this refers to. Verse 31, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the what? Of the free. All right, you're children of the free. You're redeemed. You're saved by grace through Jesus Christ. You're grafted in. You're His by faith. Now, because Jesus lives in your heart, if He lives in your heart, if He doesn't, then it's time to get saved today. I urge you, come on forward. Let's get saved. Let's help you find that relationship with Jesus. But those of you who have given your life to the Lord, what do you have within? Number one, who do you have within? All right. What do you have within? Holy Spirit. What else? What else? What else? Treasure! You got the whole enchilada! Does it always feel like that? Thank you. One honest person in the room. Thank you very much. It doesn't always feel like that because we're still learning how to walk this out. And we're still learning how to appropriate what Jesus has given to us. There's not a problem with the gift. There's a problem sometimes with the receipt of the gift. Okay? So Jesus has put Himself, His Spirit, His grace, His blessings, His life. You have treasure within. Look, the only reason I'm taking so much time to draw this out is because it's true that what you believe leads to what you do. Let's say it again. What you believe leads to what you do. If you understand that the treasure of God Himself in Jesus Christ lives within you, you live differently than if you're walking down eating the mully grub worms. Open up a can of worms, sit down, sit in the pity party. It's a whole lot different, isn't it? Come on, say amen or oh no. Listen, if I understand Jesus is within, then there's a calling on my life. Well, wait a minute. I'm not called to be a pastor. Yet it doesn't make any difference. You're His son or His daughter. You're called to be His. So what does that mean? I got treasure within me. And you start thinking about Jesus is in me and treasure is within me. And then the next time temptation comes, you start quoting to yourself, wait a minute, I belong to Jesus, I've got treasure within me. And that thing that calls out my name from the wrong shelf in the store or the video department or wherever it might be, I don't have to respond to that. I got treasure within me. Amen. Turn to each other, say, I got treasure inside. It helps you live different. Mama, you got treasure inside. Do you know that? Man, so I don't. Maybe I get discouraged. Maybe I get concerned. Maybe I get beaten up and beaten down. But something inside says, come on, Kevin, get up. Jesus Christ is inside. King of kings, Lord of lords, Lamb of glory. You've got some treasure inside. And no matter how bad it gets for you, Kevin, there's a lot of people going straight to hell and they need what you've got. It helps you live differently, Kevin. Anybody else, too? I thought if I said it about myself personally, it wouldn't be so threatening, right? It helps you live differently. What are you really living like on your job? What are you really living like when nobody sees? What do you really live like at home? And how do you really live with each other? And what's really going on? Needs to stop long enough to say, wait a minute, you've got treasure inside of you. I got treasure inside of me. And my job is to give that treasure away. There's people lost, needy, drugs, alcohol. Families have fallen apart. They've been a wreck. They're a wreck physically. They're a wreck in their soul. They're hurting. And they need an answer. And the answer is Jesus. Folks, the Church of Jesus Christ is not plan B. There is no plan B. God's plan is to cover this earth with His glory as the waters cover the sea and to make His church a group of people who look just like Him, act just like Him, talk like Him, think like Him, walk like Him, bless like Him, because they know they got the treasure of God inside.
Yes, amen.
So how do we live? We're called to give that life away because people need him. Now, maybe you think to yourself, okay, well, I don't have a big ministry. Isaac could have stopped and said, you know, Dad got all the press. And if he had foresight, my kid's going to get all the press. And I don't get much. Child of promise, laughter, ha! Let's hear how laughter plays out. He's a baby. Child of promise, waited 20 years for him. 8 days later, his body's racked with pain and he doesn't know why as a baby. They call it circumcision. Ouch! 2 years goes by, he has a party after being weaned. It's what they did in their culture, okay? Don't look at me funny, it's just what they did, okay? So, he's weaned. And the joy of the moment and the celebration of the party is destroyed because Ishmael looks on and mocks him. And Sarah's heart turns to stone with grief. Have you ever noticed? We've talked about this a little bit. Can we talk? You ever notice that when something really good happens, you want it to last forever. You want to stay in the moment, right?
Yeah.
You're in the zone. Let's just stay in this moment. You know, as a preacher, you know, every now and then you just hope you hit it right. And okay, I got that one right. 5 minutes later, somebody comes up and just slays you. Well, that joy didn't last long. Or for you, you know, maybe I say something insensitive to you and you were all happy until I came by. Thanks a lot, Pastor. You know, but life's like that, isn't it? Every now and then. So you get this party for this 2-year-old and everything's great. And then, oh man, Ishmael messes it up. He was either 16 or he was 25, whichever the case may be, through that age. That means he was grown strong enough, Isaac was, to lay the wood on his back. Because remember, Dad said, just like every good dad, here, son, you carry the wood. We're going to do the sacrifice. I love that. Just like it was with my kids. Here, you carry that. Okay? So he's a big enough kid to carry the wood. And the sweet little kid, the sweet teenager, is looking at his dad going, hey, this is cool. I'm just having quality time with Dad. You know, we're just stepping out, me and Pop. Dad, by the way, got the wood? Got the matches, got the gas can. Where is that sacrifice, Dad? You know, did you ever play games with your kids when they were little? You love to tease them, lead them on a little bit. In radio business, we call it teasers. Oh, this is going to happen to you. Remember last week, I did a teaser. I said, come this spring, I got a real surprise for you. Remember that?
Yeah.
I just did it again. All right. And so, anyway, that was called a teaser again, see? But so he says, well, son, you know, God's going to bring the sacrifice. You know, there was either a glint in Abraham's eye or tragic feelings of fear and horror inside. What are we going to do? But that young man, as soon as he discovered he was the sacrifice, laid himself on that altar, and it was a choice. You can guarantee it. Because that kid could have gotten away, and it changed his entire life. Wait a minute. My name's Laughter. Is this a funny moment? Then he's 37 years of age. They waited a long time to have him. And the mother that he loves is gone. You can tell from the scripture that this young man loved his mother because it wasn't until 3 years later at the age of 40 that he was given his wife, Rebecca, and the Bible says, and now. Maybe the now's not in it, but that's the point. Now, he was comforted concerning his mother. There's a close relationship here in this family, folks. So not only does he live through the altar experience, now his mother's taken from him. So you've got the joy of being the promise. The joy of the promise that comes with the testing. If you want to watch promise become provision, I can guarantee you from the Bible, there will be the requirement of the passing of a test. Don't you know that's true, church? For promise to become provision, you must pass. Now, we do that by grace. I'm not saying your works and all supernatural. We do that by calling out to God for help and by being a part of a church. But at any particular time, any particular day, any one of us could be passing through a test, couldn't we? That's why we want to walk tenderly with each other. Give each other the benefit of the doubt. If somebody says something to you that may seem insensitive or a little bit firmer or however it might be, stop long enough to give them the benefit of the doubt and cover them in love. That's what families do. And sometimes families sit down and say, now, all this covering and love stuff I'm doing for you, let's uncover this and get to what's going on. That's what family does too. But we love each other. So, laughter, test. Laughter, test. Laughter, test. Now, let's talk about Rebecca. This is really beautiful. Do you understand that Rebecca, who became Isaac's wife, was every bit as called as Abraham was? Now you look at the scripture about Rebecca, and you find the servant went to find her. Remember, he prayed, Lord, let me find her. And he found this woman of the right family who would not only give this man a drink, but give a drink to his camels as well. She was a servant. She was hardworking. And God took her and pointed her out, and she had a choice she could make. She didn't have to go with this servant. Who knew if this servant was telling the truth? Hey, 1,000 miles away, I got this really hot kid for you. And really, there's riches. You know, these aren't just five and dime bracelets I'm giving here. Who knew? But in faith, she knew. All I want to say about Rebecca was that she was called by God every bit as much as Abraham. And if you take a look, people denigrate the Bible, saying it treats the women terribly. You take a look in there, and the women patriarchs are elevated and honored. These were powerful women. Ladies, look at me and say, I'm powerful too. Go ahead. It's your moment. Shine. God has given you power and anointing and influence. And look at the scriptures. If you want to doubt this, take a look at how they influenced the families. How it came out. Now, was Isaac a perfect man? No. Isaac did what dear old dad did. Remember? He goes down into another country and they say, he's going to kill me. They're going to kill me for this hot-looking wife I've got. Just tell everybody you're my sister, okay? Wonder where you heard that before. Like father, like son, you know. So what happens? The Lord spares him. The Lord takes care of him. Was that a perfect moment? No, that wasn't a perfect moment. There was another problem in this family. And you guys, we got to be honest enough with each other that if we've done this, we got problems in our families too. Remember, the word is called favoritism. Because you have Isaac, who really loves Esau. And you got Rebecca, who really loves who? Jacob. All right, what did that create? You have to be honest enough when you look at the scripture. That created generations of jealousy and envy and competition and horrible things. Now, God chose for a reason to say that the younger would be the leader and that the elder will serve the younger. Now, you take a look. There's a whole other message here. You take a look at Rebekah sparing the blessing and preserving the blessing for Jacob. Remember, he went and deceived Isaac when he could no longer see, put a patch of animal skin and made him feel like he was hairy, like he was Esau, so Jacob or Isaac could bless him. Well, Isaac was supposed to be blessing who? Jacob, anyway. And he wanted to give the blessing to Esau. So he forgot his way a few times. We're not talking about Isaac this morning because he was perfect, but because he was redeemed by God. Now, come on. Can you admit that with me? Anybody in this room besides me not perfect? Let's see the show of hands. Come on. Okay, now I don't feel so bad. How many in this room grateful for redemption? The covering grace of God. So we look at Isaac, not because every element of his life was perfect, but because we look at the man who walked with God by faith. Now look at this. So beyond those stories I've quoted to you, we don't hear a lot about Isaac. You hear a ton about Abraham. You hear a ton about Jacob. You don't hear much about Isaac. And maybe Isaac is like a lot of people in this room or people that we know who are Christians that say, I don't have much of a part to play. I don't have much to do. I'm not very important. But guess what? If Isaac didn't do his part to pass that faith along, then there would have been generations lost to the purpose of God. What has God called you to do this morning? To be a faithful man and woman of God. There is nobility in your walk, nobility in your call, nobility in your obedience to Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor Kev, maybe I won't be a Billy Graham. Hey, folks, guess what? There's only one of those. But there's a multitude of believers who are dynamically changing this world for Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask you, what captures your heart? What captures your fancy? If we are going to be the people of God, to give this life away, who is to be in first place? Jesus. Not your car. Not your boat. Not your bank account. Not your lack thereof. Not your hair. Not your what? Yeah. Okay. Some of us are there, yeah. But folks, listen, every one of us is called to do our part. And if we allow other things to capture our fancy, will we pass the faith along? Capturing your fancy is a nice, newer way of saying, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Right there to the Ten Commandments. Well, I'm not important, but you have a part. I don't have to serve in the church. Everybody serves. I don't have to give. If God's put into your hand to give and you don't give, you're stopping the river of God from flowing. The church will not be what the church is to be unless every person plays their part. Oh, this is a message about giving. No, it's not. It's a message about whole life living. About being what Jesus wants us to be. Isaac gave life away and he did what he was called to do just by being faithful. Pass the bag of sand. Pass the box. I'm in line and I'm passing the faith along. I pray to God that I have lived my walk with Jesus in such a way that my sons ultimately want to run after him with all their heart. I have some issues of prayer for my family. I'm sure you do for yours. Church, we're surrounded by people all around us who don't know this wonderful, shining, glorious treasure. And his name is Jesus. All we have to do is play our part. Do our part. Look alive. Smile at me. That's your part this morning. Do our part. I sat in my office last night, my chair. And I thought, how do I communicate this? Because I could see Isaac in my eyes. And all he did was be a faithful man of God. Plow the ground, take care of the sheep, lead the family, walk with God. Church, that's what we're called to do. My business isn't first. I have people who want me to come show them property on Sunday morning, and they never get me. I don't mean that weird. I'm just saying, from the beginning, it has not been so. Even when I worked for somebody else and didn't have my own business. I'm sorry. There's that which I will do. There's that which I will not do. I will not sell my soul for your dollar bill. Follow what I'm saying? I'm not lifting up myself. I'm just saying there comes decision. There comes bedrock. There comes that thing inside that says, like Isaac, I've got treasure. And if the world is going to be filled with His glory as the water covers the sea, part of it is up to me and you. I'll read a couple of scriptures and we'll close. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Within, we have this treasure. You know, Isaac's life went on. I suppose one of the final stories to tell you about, or at least to zero in on. And here he is, this child of laughter. Remember how long did it take Abraham and Sarah to have a promise fulfilled to have Isaac? Anybody remember? About 20 years, right? 20 years or more. Guess how long it took Isaac and Rebecca to have children? 20 years. Isn't it interesting what God does and how He allows difficulty to take place? But that difficulty is not cruel. He allows it so we can pass the test and prove character. Live for something bigger, folks. We live to give life away. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me give you just another couple of scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21, if you're writing down notes. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21. I'll read this from the New International Version, which is what the version is that you're reading if you've been doing the chronological Bible. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, called to give life away. Called to give life away. Where do you work? Where do you go to school? Where do you go to the grocery store? Where do you shop? And how do you do it? Life lived every day as an ambassador for Christ. Philippians 3, 13 through 14. Philippians 3, 13 through 14. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What captures your heart? Moses, we just read, turned aside after a burning bush. Remember? Wonder why this bush doesn't burn up. It's burning. And he finds God. You'll remember later in the scriptures, Elisha keeps his eyes on Elijah, and Elijah was getting ready to go up to God in a whirlwind. Remember all the commotion. But Elijah had said to Elisha, if you'll keep your eyes on me, you will get the double portion of anointing mantle. And a whole lot of commotion took place that Elisha could have been distracted by. Life is full of distractions, folks. Say amen or oh no. And he kept his eyes on Elijah, and the double portion anointing fell upon him. Remember when the disciples walked out to the edge of town with Jesus, and they spoke with Him and talked with Him, and all of a sudden, we call it the ascension. Jesus ascended to His Father. And the disciples are all peering into the heavens. And an angel says, hey guys, He's gone. You're here now. Get to work. It's okay. The Holy Spirit is with you. They kept their eyes on Jesus. And 12 disciples, 11, with the 12th replaced, went out and changed the world for Jesus Christ. Give life away. Recognize there's treasure inside what He's called you to do. Go be a blesser of others and give it away. Isn't that what we're called to do? Let's stand. What kind of impact can you make in your life? And while you're standing, I'll read this quickly, but what kind of impact? What can I do? I want to talk to you real quickly about a little girl with 57 cents. A little girl stood near a small church from which she had been turned away because it was too crowded. She was turned away because it was just too crowded to get in. I can't go to Sunday school, she sobbed to the pastor as he walked by. Seeing her shabby, unkept appearance, the pastor guessed the reason. They wouldn't let her in because she didn't look good enough. And so he took her by the hand, ushered her into a Sunday school class, found room for her. And that little girl was so happy that they had found room for her. She went to bed that night so grateful to Jesus, but she kept thinking about the children who have no place to worship God. 2 years later, it's a true story. 2 years later, this little girl lay dead in a heap at a poor tenement house. Her parents called for the kind-hearted pastor to come and arrange the service for her because they remembered how he had loved her. As her poor little body was moved, they found a worn, crumpled up little red purse that had obviously been rummaged from some trash heap. And as he looked inside, from this little girl, he found 57 cents and a little note scribbled in childish handwriting. And it said this: "This is to help the church, my little church, grow bigger so more children can come to Sunday school. Let's build a church." For 2 years, that little girl had saved 57 cents for that purpose. The minister, full of tears, read the note and he made a determination right then and there. Knew instantly what he had to do. He carried the note, the cracked little purse, and he went into his church that morning, into the pulpit, and he told the story of this unselfish little girl and her ambition, her devotion, and her love. He challenged his deacons, "Get busy to build, to raise enough money so we can build a church, a larger building." And the story doesn't end there. It was picked up by a newspaper person who heard the story. They published it. It was then read by a wealthy realtor. Some of them are. It was then picked up by a wealthy realtor who offered them a parcel of land worth, in those days, thousands upon thousands of dollars. When told that the church could not pay so much, he offered to sell it to the church for 57 cents. Church members made large donations. Checks came from far and wide. Within 5 years, that little girl's 57 cents increased to $250,000, and that was a huge sum for its day, near the turn of the century. Her unselfish love paid huge dividends. And the story goes on. You can verify this today. When you're in the city of Philadelphia, you can look up a place called Temple Baptist Church with a seating capacity of 3,300 people. You can be sure to visit Temple University, where thousands of students are educated. And have a look, too, at Good Samaritan Hospital and at a Sunday school building which houses hundreds and hundreds of beautiful children, built so that no child in the area will ever need to be left outside during Sunday school time. In one of those rooms, you'll see the picture of the sweet face of a little girl whose 57 cents made such remarkable history. And alongside her picture is the portrait of a very kind pastor, Dr. Russell Conwell, author of the book Acres of Diamonds. The issue isn't how much money you have. The issue isn't, are you a good public speaker or not? Can you sing well? The issue is, can you simply give and live fully with what God has given you? Can you give it away? Can you put Jesus first and say, okay, Lord, what you want, I give. I want to build your church, and I want to see people come to Jesus. And I want to see this earth filled with your glory as the waters cover the sea. Can you say yes to Jesus? Can you say amen, church? Father, we thank you for the testimony of a little girl who gave 57 cents. It's not the issue of amount, it's the issue of giving. It's not even that this isn't a money message. It's heart. And oh Lord, we thank you that we have an opportunity to live first and foremost for you. And now we take a lesson from Isaac, who gave life away. Yeah, maybe he was stuck with the transition. But thank God he did it faithfully. He did what you called him to do. And he passed the faith along. Now, Lord, we say yes to you and choose to do the same thing. Lord, let great fruit come from the decisions made here today as we say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus, this is the day to do so. Come on up front, and I'd be honored to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, we believe Jesus is here to heal you. If there's other things on your heart you need time for prayer or would like to pray together, we'd be honored to do so.